making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, welcome to Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. We're thankful that you've joined us again today. On this Friday question and answer session, we are going to be looking and talking about the subject of Christmas and what we celebrate at this time of year. I'm joined with Kevin Eflin of the Bellingham United Reformed Church. We're thankful on Fridays to take your questions. You may access our at our website, www.lindenurc.com, and you may email us at aboundinggrace@lindenurc.com. Any questions you have for these Friday broadcasts. Well, as you know, this is an exciting time of year for many Christians across this country as they will celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Malls will be full, stores will be packed with all sorts of stuff at this time of year. And as Kevin and I were talking about what we're really celebrating, we have sadly seen that Christmas in America has become consumerized. It's become a market-driven strategy to sell and facilitate man's greed. How, Kevin, do you think we should look at the Christmas account and the Christmas story in light of all that's going on around us? And how do we sort of sort through all of this and get to what the Bible teaches regarding the birth of Christ?
Well, Chris, I think that the consumerism of Christmas is just a mirror or reflection of the consumerism of our society. I mean, the Christmas season is really not a whole lot different than how people live their lives the other 364 days of the year. We're a very materialistic, very consumeristic society, very driven by the latest fads and the latest toys. And so I think that mentality just spills over into Christmas. And I think the danger is that in the church, we have become also focused on those same things. And so the challenge for us as Christians is to get our focus and the focus of our children and grandchildren upon what we are really celebrating at this time of season, and that is the coming of Christ into the world. And so I think that's the challenge that presents itself to us, is how do we keep that focus before our eyes and before the eyes of our loved ones and family so that we might focus on what Scripture focuses on, the beautiful truth that Christ came into the world to save sinners.
You know, Kevin, I think that's a wonderful point. You know, the way the baby Jesus is presented to us today in a manger with a halo over his head with no worries, cuddled up around all these loving people. And, you know, I that surely is not the picture the Bible presents to us. Sure, there were people who came and were rejoicing at his birth, but it was a very small number. We look at what Jesus had to go through, and what we confess about Christ is that from the point of his incarnation all the way to the resurrection, and actually to the grave and then resurrection, we call that the state of his humiliation. And if that be the state of his humiliation, that means his as a child he was in that humbled state, which means he was suffering then for us. He was already carrying, as Isaiah said, in a sense, the sins on our back, even at that point, because as infants were, surely we've gone astray from the womb speaking lies as soon as we're born, Psalm 58. Jesus's life, I think we have to celebrate at the time of Christmas, is looking at his whole life from the birth to his perfect law keeping, striving to keep the law for us so that it might be reckoned to our account, then going to the cross, dying, and then resurrecting. When we look at the whole of life, that is how we see the true story of Christmas, that Jesus gave himself for us.
You know, I think that's an excellent point. And I think one of the things I just thought of is the fact that there are many churches that will focus on the reason for Christ coming on Christmas Day, but the other 51 Sundays or 52 Sundays, if Christmas doesn't fall on a Sunday, they're focusing on practical tips for living. And I think God's people are extremely impoverished to only hear the message of Christ coming for the sins of his people once a year. And so it's imperative for us as ministers to continually proclaim the gospel, to continually proclaim Christ and his humiliation and what he did for his people, so that when we come to Christmas season, our congregations and our families are merely hearing what they've heard the rest of the year from us. And that is why Christ came. So I'm not saying, and I don't think we're saying, that churches are not talking about the reason for Christ coming at Christmas season. But I fear that the rest of the year, many churches are not speaking of Christ. They're speaking of how to live and how to be a better this or a better that. So continually in our worship services, Christ must be presented so that when we come to the Christmas season, it's merely echoing what we've been talking about the rest of the year.
Right, and he's not just, we don't present Christ as sort of a little doll to be cuddled at this time of year. This is God to be worshiped. This is our King. And if you look carefully at Matthew chapter 2, which I've been working through this week, Matthew 2, there's a contrast there between this child being presented as the King. Remember, the wise men from the east came to present their gifts to him, asking, where's the King of the Jews? Even this designation was given to him even in his incarnation. And, you know, this was in contrast to the vile king that was sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, Herod. And the question, I guess, at this time of year that we need to all ask ourselves is, or have we submitted to this King? He is the one who every man must give an account and bow their knee, either now in the day of mercy or on the day of judgment for condemnation. So it's in a sense, it's a very sobering message. It's a message that calls us to look at the real claims of Scripture about just who Jesus is, and that should make us in humble fear submit our lives to this King who is able to save and save the weary and the lowly.
Just one other thing I want to add, and that is this, that you just brought up the point that, excellent point, that Christ came in his humiliation. But the other thing we must remember, too, is that when Christ returns again, he will not come in humiliation. He will come as victorious judge. And that should stir in us a great level of fear and trembling, knowing that he is coming to judge the living and the dead. So I think that the message of Christ's humiliation at this time of year is critical, and we see that in Scripture, but we almost also remember that he will come again one day, and he will come to judge the world.
Yeah, and the joy of what we celebrate at this time of year, and we don't want to sound like there's no joy in this. The joy is that when we turn to this King, all of his benefits and all of his grace is given to us so that we might know that we are now under this King in a saving way. And, I guess one of the things, Kevin, that we think we need to think about at this time of year also is how Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the promises made in the Old Testament. I think there's a tendency to divide the Old Testament from the New and not see the continuity that in Christ, all that God had said and promised in the Old Testament is coming to fulfillment through his birth and through his life and through his death and resurrection. So, Kevin, where could we go in the Bible to outline some of the promises that have been made that point us to the birth of Christ and what we should be celebrating at this time of year?
Well, Chris, we could go back, first of all, to Genesis chapter 3, and let me just say this at the outset. It's very important that we want to communicate to you that the Old Testament is full of Christ. It's Christ-centered. Jesus himself taught that in Luke chapter 24, that all of the Old Testament speaks of him. And so you go back to Genesis chapter 3, and you find what we call the mother promise, where God promises to send a deliverer, one who will crush the head of the serpent, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And ever since that time, God's people have been looking for the Messiah, the deliverer, who would come and deliver them from their sin. So we see Genesis chapter 3, we see the promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, numerous other Old Testament passages, the sacrifices, the feasts, the festivals, all of these things point to Christ. Now, we could get into some specific passages, Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 9, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which outlines that Christ will be born in Bethlehem, many other passages, but over and over again in the Old Testament, we are being driven to Christ.
Yeah, and Mary recognized this. Interestingly, in Mary's song recorded for us in Luke chapter 1, at the very end of that, she recognizes God's faithfulness, and she says, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy and spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." So clearly what she recognizes there is that the promises made to Abraham are now being fulfilled in the coming of Christ. And you see that as Christ comes into the temple on the Sabbath in Luke chapter 4, opens the Bible, and quotes right out of the book of Isaiah In the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." All of those Old Testament promises are now culminating and coming to realization in the birth and the life of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to be celebrating at this time of year. Now, Kevin, there's this thought out there that Jesus really, when he came, his own people rejected him. And we see that right at the birth. Israel rejects Christ, and you have Gentile wise men coming to worship him. So Christ went to plan B, the church. How do we at Christmas time understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior to all tribes, people, and tongues, all tribes, peoples, nations, and tongues? And how do we recognize that in light of Israel's rejection of him?
Well, I think, Chris, the Old Testament is full of Christ. And the Old Testament is also over and over again emphasizing that God is not only a God who saves the Jews, he is a God who saves all nations. You know, I'm preaching through Ruth right now. Ruth was an outsider. Ruth was a Moabitess. And God brings her by his grace into the covenant community. And we see that again and again in the Old Testament, that God reaches outside of his people to draw a people for himself. And many times he brings Gentiles to faith in himself. And so for us to say that the church is plan B, you know, we're obviously running out of time here. We could take a lot more time and develop this dispensational idea that the church is now plan B, but the Old Testament is full of the fact that God saves Gentiles.
Yeah, and what Christ's birth signals to us is if the fulfillment to Abraham, all the promises are now coming to fruition in Christ's birth and resurrection, we who are of faith are of children of Abraham. And so that means that Christ's birth signals that the door of salvation is being opened to all peoples in the world, not just the Jew, but also the Gentile. And that's what we celebrate at this time of year, Christ's wonderful life and death and his wonderful work of redemption to save sinners. Look, we invite you to join us for worship. And one of the promises we give you at the Bellingham United Reformed Church and at the Linden United Reformed Church is we're not here to tickle your ears. We're not here to entertain you. We're here to preach Christ and him crucified. We invite you to join us for worship. The Bellingham United Reformed Church meets at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Sundays. Well, as we celebrate what is most important in life and in death, let us never take our eyes off Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith to those who have called out upon him in this day of salvation. To join us this Sunday for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Also, we'll be having a Christmas service on Monday the 25th at 10 a.m. We invite you to join us. Visit us on the web, www.lindenurc.com. Have a wonderful weekend. Oh.